It's time for a full hour dedicated to the sport where the true legends are known by one word names. Tiger, Jack, Arnie, Lefty. Just the mention of their names paints a picture of great moments in time. The next age of stars are being made every weekend as stellar competition comes down to a 10-foot curling putt with a title on the line. Now, here's Jimmy Hyams with this week's edition of Golf Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Welcome to Golf Talk, brought to you by Hamarki Wellness CBD. Feel better physically and mentally with universal benefits of CBD. I'm Jimmy Hyams, pleased to be joined by my co-host, Braxton Hunter. He was a star player at Tennessee Tech, an instructor now at Fairways and Greens. Braxton, how are you?
I'm doing good, Jimmy. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. We have got a lot to cover. So many results to get to, so much to talk about. We will start with our Knox Area Players of the Week. That is brought to you by Master Battery, the battery experts of Knoxville, located on Callahan Drive, or online at masterbattery.com. Our Players of the Week, Trenton Johnson. He's a University of Tennessee redshirt freshman. He won the Willow Creek Invitational. He did so in a playoff with two others, including one of his teammates at Tennessee. So Trenton Johnson is one of our Players of the Week. The other is Connor McKay. He's a product of Farragut High School. He won the Tennessee State Amateur. He actually, about a year ago, he was so frustrated, wasn't sure if he was going to continue to play. He had labrum surgery. He had hip surgery. And, boy, he got it turned around through hard work. He ends up winning the Tennessee State match play at Lookout Mountain. He beat some quality opponents along the way. So we look forward to being joined by both of them a little bit later in the show. But we need to get to our local news and notes, and they are brought to you by Golf Tech. Golf Tech's extended its March sale. They're offering the largest discounts of the year. They've got savings up to 20%. Call 566-0505, 566-0505 for Golf Tech. The Workday Charity Tournament in Muirfield Village, two local players made the cut. Peter Malnati ended up, he shot 68-72 to make the cut. Boy, he shot an uncharacteristic 84, then came back with a 68, so he was plus four. He finished 65th. Scott Stallings makes the cut. He shoots 74-68. Over the weekend, 71-75. He finishes even par. He ties for 58. Wes Roach was an alternate. He did not get in. And he is looking forward to playing in the Corn Ferry event in San Antonio next week. I think it's interesting, Braxton, that Muirfield Village is hosting back-to-back tournaments on the PGA Tour because they got the Memorial coming up, and then San Antonio's hosting back-to-back Corn Ferry events. I don't know that I can ever remember seeing anything quite like that.
No, and especially with it being the same golf course at Muirfield Village, just unprecedented. They actually did say that they had a tournament, I believe, in the 50s that played back-to-back weeks at the same course, but really, since that time, nothing like that's ever happened. And it makes sense. I mean, it's one of the players' favorite golf courses of the year, so it just kind of keeps everybody that's playing both tournaments kind of in the same area and allows for more golf.
The Tennessee match played Lookout Mount. We mentioned Connor McKay was the winner. Cade Russell, Tennessee golfer, was a semifinalist, as was Brandon Weir, a product of Alcoa. So congratulations to them for making the semifinals. The Willow Creek invite, Trenton Johnson wins it. We mentioned that he did it in a playoff. There was a three-person playoff on the first hole. Johnson made birdie, and he was able to beat out Spencer Cross and Coleman Jones. So congratulations to Trenton Johnson in that regard. At the Willow Creek Invitational, the seniors, Bill Roach was the winner for either the fifth or sixth time. He shot a 70-69. He was 5 under par. He beat Greg Nichols, who was at 141, and Brian Rogers at 142. And the super seniors, Ron Rochelle, shot 78-69. He won by one over Sandy Burnett. And then Bryce Lewis, also a Tennessee golfer, he won the Golden Isles Invitational in Brunswick, Georgia. He shot 64, 70, 66, 16 under par. He won in a first playoff hole when he knocked it up pretty tight to make birdie. He beat the defending champion, Eli Scott, who birdied 14, 15, and 16 to take the lead, but then he bogeyed 18. That led to the playoff. That's Lewis's first win as a college player, and he's going to play with his dad, Trey, in the Tennessee four ball, which is scheduled for Fox Den Country Club this week. So congratulations to Bryce Lewis. We also have the Pro-Am at the Country Club of Morristown. Walt Chapman shot 67. He was a leading pro. Nathan Blanchard, 69. Braxton Hunter with a 70. The first-place team, Greg Wyatt, he shot 76. Jeff Cranford had a 64. These amateurs keep throwing up incredible scores. Dave Elkins, an 82. Wesley Norris, an 88. The second-place team had Chapman, Alan Moore, Jamie Gaylor, and Ted Shake. And then the third-place team, Hunter, you were on the third-place team, and the guy that you ended up getting paired with, and it's a random draw on the pairing, Bill Sennett with a 71. You're playing pretty good golf now.
Yeah, that's finally coming around a little bit, getting more consistent. So getting out there playing and practicing a little bit in between lessons, and it kind of shows when you get a little bit more practice then, for sure.
Yeah. The Tennessee Senior PGA held at the Nashville Golf and Athletic Club. Bill Breen of Nashville wins it 69-64. He's won all four events that he's played this year. Jared Nelson of Murfreesboro was second. Walt Chapman was third. He was at two under par. And then tying for fifth, Jake Reeves, a pro at Fox Den Country Club, was at even par. So my understanding on this is the top six advanced to the PGA Senior Field. That's going to be at Port Lucie in Florida in October 15 to 18. And I know they've got some alternates, but the top six do advance, don't they, Braxton?
Yeah, that's correct. And it's kind of like our just section championship is the seniors at the national have a chance to qualify for the senior PGA championship for the next year. So it's really good for some of our local guys that got in, with Jake just turning 50. And him getting in is cool. And then, of course, Walt's made it numerous times. So congratulations to both of those guys for sure.
I was stunned to see Jake Reeves on there, senior.
Yeah. And people do not – they would have never guessed, if you've ever met Jake, that he would be 50 years old. So that's one – and it'd be a compliment to him for sure. Nobody would. And he's to that point now and really going to be a force to be reckoned with that age group for sure.
The Tennessee State Women's Mid-Am, Jess Lawley ended up winning that. She had she won going away, and she defends her title. Tellery Hughes of Knoxville was second. And then the senior AM division, Karen Williams of Bean Station, finished fifth. As far as the Sneds Tour at Greystone, Caleb Wilson, who we interviewed last week, he tied for fourth. He shot 73-68. That's three under par. He was the only person from Knoxville in the top 10. And then the Sneds Tour in Beaverbrook, he had, by the way, the Sneds Tour in Greystone was ages 16 to 18. The 13 and under Sneds Tour Beaverbrook, Colin Keno of Maryville shot a 34. That's two under par. Connor Williams shot a 39. So those are your top two finishers in that event. And also at Bell Mead in Nashville, a junior invitational. This is boys junior. Aiden Collier, you remember his name for playing so well recently in a junior match play at Three Ridges. He's out of Greenville. He shot six under par, 66, then a 72, so he was the winner there. And then in fourth place, Nicholas Etherton out of William Blount. And fifth, Cooper Hayes out of Strawberry Plains. Etherton was one over par after two rounds, and Hayes was three over par. So, gosh, we have got so many different tournaments, so many events out there, Braxton. It's a lot of fun to try to keep track of what everybody's doing out there.
It is, and especially on the junior scene right now. And we've continued to talk about how some of the national stuff's either been pushed back or done away with totally. So it's kind of set way for some of these junior invitationals and some of our local and state events to have some really good flair to them, and having Aiden win the TriStar event and the Bell Mead kind of back to back is a really good feather in his cap. And he's just proven to be one of the best junior players in our area.
Yeah. So very impressive results there. So we hope to be joined here by Trenton Johnson. He, as we mentioned, the winner of the Willow Creek Invitational, with a very strong performance there. Had a chance to visit with him after the round, as I happened to be playing out there. you might like this one, Braxton. So I'm having a horrible game, which is a day, which has been a pretty consistent lately. So I think I'm going to help my. We were playing. We had four people, and we were playing 6, 6, and 6. And so I thought I might win a hole on 18. I knocked it up to 2 feet for birdie, and I thought, okay, I got this one. And some guy named Mickey Deerstone, you might have heard of him. he holed out for an eagle. I'm sitting there with a 2-foot gimme tap in, and he holes out for eagle. So I make a birdie on 18 at Willow Creek and lose the hole. I like that.
I thought you were going to tell me he didn't give you the putt, which that would be more like in line with that happening versus him holing out. But that's a pretty good story for sure.
Yeah, I lose on a birdie. Yeah, there you go, after having a bad day. All right, we're pleased to be joined by somebody that didn't have a bad day, and that is Trent Johnson, University of Tennessee golfer, winning the Willow Creek Invitational. Trenton, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are y'all?
Doing fine. Hey, thanks for joining us. Congratulations on your win. We were just talking earlier about how your teammate at Tennessee, Bryce Lewis, won for the first time as a college player. Is this your first win as a college player?
It is. It's been some time since I've won, just even period. But, first one as a collegiate golfer, and, happy that I were fortunate enough that I was able to win.
Well, take me through the playoff. So it's a three-person playoff, and one of your Tennessee teammates, Cade Russell, is a part of that. Tell me what happened on the playoff hole, which I believe was number one at Willow Creek, correct?
Yes, sir. So it was Spencer Cross, not Cade Russell.
I'm sorry, Spencer Cross. My
Cade
bad.
Wasn't – yes, sir. So three-man playoff is me, Spencer, and Coleman Jones, who is a collegiate golfer. He plays at Belmont. I teed off first, number one, at Willow Creek's par 5. Go straight and down the hill. So you had a good drive. You can reach it in two. Fortunately enough for me, I hit one down the middle. Along with Spencer. Coleman teed off last. He pulled his a little bit left. Spencer was first to play. He hit a second shot. He pulled it just left of the green. I was up next. I was able to hit a 7-iron within 20 feet. And Coleman from the left side, he missed the green. And they hit their chips to about 15, 20 feet and missed and made it easy on me. I was able to lag it up and make the putt to win.
That's awesome. Hey, Trenton, this is Braxton Hunter. Hope you're doing well, bud. Just wanted to ask.
Hey,
kind
what's
of,
going on, Braxton?
Doing good, man. So just kind of take us through the two rounds of the tournament. Just how's your game been feeling? What else do you have coming up after the tournament? Just kind of talk us through how you feel like you've been playing, and then obviously you played well at Willow Creek. So, just kind of take us through that part.
Gotcha. Yeah. So, ever since I've come to college, my game's been a work in progress. I just finished my freshman year at Tennessee. And, when I got there, I sat down with Coach Webb, Coach Andrews, and, we came up with a game plan for this upcoming year that I just went through. And, we found some areas in my game, specifically ball striking, where I can improve at. And, just spent the whole year just, taking one day at a time and, just trying to make minimal gains instead of just trying to get better at everything at one time. So, just throughout the year, I've been able to see improvements. And, this summer especially, it seems like I've sort of just taken a bigger step in my progression. Going into this tournament, I had a good feeling that I could play well. I'd been hitting the ball pretty good recently and, started both rounds pretty slow. I think through the first round, I was one over par through 12 holes, just stayed patient and, was able to make a couple birdies coming in to shoot 2 under the first day. And, it was sort of the same story the second day. I was one over par through 8 holes, was able to make a birdie on 9 and, at that point I was 4 back with 9 to play and didn't really, based on what I'd seen so far through the first 9 holes, had any expectation of winning. I just told myself, just stay patient, if something happens, it happens. But if not, you've already put yourself in a big enough hole to where, if things don't work out the way you want to, then it's understandable. But yeah, I birdied, I ended up birdieing 13, 14, and 15. Coleman birdied 15 too, so I was two back, and made a great birdie on 17 to tie it up, and it was a pretty sad ending. We both bogeyed 18. But yeah, I was able to get it done in the playoffs. But, you know, after this, I'm playing in a tournament down in Georgia, which I'm the Savannah Quarters, which I'm hopeful, you know, play well at. And then after that, a couple other amateur tournaments, the Chattanooga Choo Choo and the Tennessee State Amber. But after that, yeah, that concludes my summer, and I'm back to old Rocky Top.
That's awesome. Can you remember which tournament was the last one you won? You mentioned you felt like you hadn't won a tournament in a long time. Can you take us back to the last one?
Yeah. Last tournament I won was my sophomore year of high school. I won the state championship. So it's been 3 or 4 years since I've had that feeling. So that was nice feeling to remember.
Trent, sometimes when it's been that long since you win, the nerves can kick in late. How did you feel over those last couple of holes at Willow Creek?
Yeah, I think around 16, I started to feel something different that I hadn't felt the first 15 holes. You know, to be honest, you know, I felt pretty comfortable. You know, I just came off three birdies, and, you know, I was playing well, so I just kept on telling myself that, and, you know, just like always when you're in those situations, you just revert back to, you know, just the hours upon hours you put into practice. And, you know, you just focus on the little things, you know, just your pre-shot routine, your rhythm, your tempo, just things like that. You don't want to get too far ahead of yourself. You don't want to look too far back. You just want to try to do everything in your power to just stay in the present. And, you know, I think that's what I did other than, you know, making bogey on the last. I think I got ahead of myself a little bit, but, It's a weird feeling, but it's definitely a good one.
Your teammate, Bryce Lewis, I saw a quote from him after he won the Golden Isles. He said that the goal for Tennessee was not just to win the SEC, but to compete for a national championship. Do you feel like Tennessee has the talent and the depth to do that?
Oh, I think we're more than capable of, you know, ever since Brennan Webb Coach Webb has come to Knoxville, you know, that's sort of been our expectation, you know, sort of, you know, just trying to develop the culture that, you know, we are capable of winning a national championship. We have, this year we'll have 15 guys that, you know, I think can play anywhere in the SEC. So, you know, qualifying is going to be heated. It's going to be a battle. And, you know, whoever gets in the lineup for us, I think, is more than capable of, competing for a national championship.
Well, fantastic. Hey, Trenton, thank you so much for joining us, and congratulations on your win at the Willow Creek Invitational, and good luck to you in your future tournaments.
I appreciate it. Thank you guys for having me on.
Thank you very much.
Trenton.
Trenton Johnson, the winner of the Willow Creek Invitational, and how about this? As an interview brought to you by Willow Creek. That's one of the top public courses in East Tennessee. To make a tee time, call 675-0100. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Connor McKay, the winner of the Tennessee State Match Play. With Braxton Hunter, I'm Jimmy Himes. You're listening to Golf Talk, brought to you by Hallmark CBD.
Now back to this week's edition of Golf Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Welcome back to Golf Talk. Golf Talk is brought to you by Hallmark Wellness CBD. I'm Jimmy Himes, along with Braxton Hunter. Pleased now to be joined by Connor McKay. Connor won the Tennessee State Match Play Tournament, and Connor's appearance brought to you by Three Ridges Golf Course, named one of Golf Digest's best places to play. For more information, to book a tee time, go to knoxcounty.org/golf/Three Ridges. Connor, how are you?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
We're doing fine. Hey, congratulations on the win. That's got to be very exciting for you to win at Oak Ridge Country Club, the Tennessee Match Play Tournament.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Well, Oak Ridge was last year. I won it this year.
I'm sorry.
No, you're right. I won it at Oak Ridge, and then I won it again this year at Lookout Mountain.
Yeah, I wrote down Lookout Mountain and said Oak Ridge. Sorry about that.
You're good.
I do want to take you back. I know that you've had a difficult run. I know a while back you had a torn labrum. I know you had a hip surgery. Does it make it extra special to succeed the way you have, given some of the injuries you've had in the past?
Most definitely. Last year, it was a little different because that was kind of fresh after a hip surgery, so it was a little bit different. This year is just more fun to go out there and do it because I've been playing for a little bit now and a little bit different mindset, but yes, sir.
What do you like about where your game is right now?
The mentality, the mindset kind of aspect of it. At this level, I mean, most everybody's got a pretty good golf game. My mindset, though, it's kind of changed from, I realize, like, at the end of the day, no one's going to remember who won that golf tournament in a year, 2 years. So, you know, at the end of the day, golf is not a life or death. So having a lot more fun with it for sure.
Kind of take us through your match play brilliance. Like, what in your mind is so good about your game as it goes to match play? Because obviously winning the tournament 2 years in a row, you have a special niche for that kind of play. Kind of give us some insight on what makes you think that's the case.
I don't think it's anything with the golf game, honestly. There's guys in that field who are equally as good as me that could have also won the thing. I would say it's a mindset thing. Like, truthfully, growing up with two brothers, I'm so competitive. Like, I could not stand the feeling of losing. Like, I mean, so it's just like, I like that in the aspect of it's win or go home, and it's you versus me. It's black and white. Someone's going to win and somebody's going to lose. So I like that, that part of it.
Also, talk about your semifinal match where it looked like you were two down and kind of clawed your way back in and ended up winning on the 19th hole, it looks like, from what I see here. Tell us kind of how that match flipped and how you got over the hump.
Well, I knew that I was playing pretty well, and I was like, if I could just get a couple putts to go in and just get one break to go my way, I thought I could come back and win. And I actually told Darren, the guy following our group from the TGA, I was like, dude, I'm going to win this match. And this is when I was like three down, and I just knew if I could get one putt to go in, then I'd have a chance. And then at that point, if you're three down, you make one putt, you're two down. Then the mindset goes to, all right, if I win one more hole, then I'm only one shot down, and then keep it rolling. So, you know, the mindset, and I hit a few good shots, made some putts, and I got a pretty good break. So, yeah.
Connor, do you think that you're a better match play golfer than medal play golfer?
I wouldn't say. I was talking to my swing coach about this the other day, actually. The golf game is no different. The mindset is different. In a tournament, it's just different. It almost, to me, seems a little more casual and a little more laid back, and I do better, a little more focused, and almost when your back's against the wall, I like that a lot more. I do, so. You know, if you can figure out how I can, you know, translate that to metal play, you let me know. The golf game, though, no different. It's just, I think, the way you go about thinking about it.
I wonder if your strategy changes. If you're playing a guy head-to-head and he gets in trouble off the tee, are you more tempted to play conservatively, hit a three-wood instead of a driver, or play away from trouble if you see your opponent get in trouble? Or do you just play your game?
I think that's probably what you're supposed to do, but I honestly just, I play my own game. I just want to win, and I want to win by not just a little, I want to win by a lot. So if he makes a mistake, then I'm going to just keep the pedal down and keep doing what I'm doing. So, yeah, pretty much, I just play my own golf game.
Connor, take us through your decision to finish your collegiate golf career at MTSU, kind of what brought that about?
It actually came together just kind of odd and out of the blue, but this will be my sixth year due to the corona year, and being at the same school anywhere for 6 years, it's just not, I was ready for a change of scenery, but Lipscomb, it was hard to leave, because I will say this, Coach Will Brewer, without a doubt, that is a man right there that everything he said he would do, he held his word to a T, everything he said he'd do. So it had nothing to do with the school or him, it's just a little bit of a change of scenery, and for what I'm trying to do with golf at the next level, a little bit of change, and I believe Coach McIntyre can do that, and I'm excited for it. So we'll see what the future holds there.
who's your favorite to win this week at Fox Den for the state four ball championship?
Well, I'm gonna go with my team, but if we unfortunately don't win, I'll go dark horse with Mark Lester and Mark McIntyre. I played with him today, and there's flashes of greatness in there somewhere. Deep in the pan, it's in there. But
that question, by the way, was brought to you by Chad Anderson through a late text. He was trying to promote the event a little bit, but just kind of talk about what your later summer schedule is looking like, what else you're going to play in coming up after the four ball this week before college golf starts this fall.
Well, with the COVID, it kind of changed everybody's schedules, but I played the Rice Planners and then the match play. I'll play the four ball and then the state am, and then hopefully start back with college golf. I don't know how all that's going to go depending on what schools do. So that's the plan right now. Hopefully we get to go back and play some golf.
Connor, who is your partner in the four ball?
Buddy of mine, Trevor Gold. He plays at Lipscomb. He played at Illinois, then transferred into Lipscomb, and he's been there for a couple of years now. So we'll see how we can do.
Have you played in this event before?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I played last year at Cherokee. It's fun. I mean, it might be the most fun tournament of the year because it's different. It's a little bit, like, lighter. It's just a lot of fun, and especially being at Fox Den, I grew up playing out here. I live on the 12th hole, so I'm looking forward to it.
Do you find yourself more aggressive when you're in match play, when you got a really good partner that's in good shape?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's what's fun about it. You can do stuff that you most definitely would never do if you were just playing by yourself. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, congratulations on your win last week. Hopefully it'll kind of translate into some success this week as well. Kind of just talk us through your mindset. Do you think going from match play to potentially playing match play again here in the four ball kind of gives you an advantage over some of the other competitors and kind of continuing your match play winning streak onto the four ball?
I would think so. I'd hope so. There's a lot of other good people out here, though, and a lot of people who remember. So there's been a lot of good golf, but I'm playing well right now. So hopefully we can keep that thing rolling, and hopefully my partner and I can both just keep it in play, and then we can go from there.
Well, Connor, congratulations on winning the Tennessee State match play. Good luck to you in the upcoming four ball at Fox Den Country Club. Thank you so much for joining us, and good luck to you in the future.
Yeah, thank y'all. Y'all have a good one.
You too.
Thanks,
and that
Connor.
Is Connor McKay, a winner of the Tennessee State Match Play. Interview brought to you by Three Ridges Golf Course. Now time for our pro news and notes brought to you by Holston Hills Country Club. Holston Hills offers memberships tailored to families, avid golfers, and corporate executives, providing the best private club value for its members from the mountains to the coast. Learn more at HolstonHills.com. Well, they had the Workday Tournament at Muirfield Village, and I don't know if you had much of a chance to watch that, Braxton, but I thought it was pretty exciting stuff. You've got Justin Thomas with a three-shot lead with three to play. He doesn't hold on to it. Colin Morikawa, the Cal grad, wins it in a three-hole playoff as Justin Thomas bogeyed hole number three. I thought that was really, really fun to watch.
It was, and I watched it. After the fact, I watched the replay of it last night, so I kind of knew what had already happened. And watching it, rewatching it, it was more impressive what Morikawa actually did than I think a lot of people just go to, oh, Thomas choked down the stretch. And in reality, Morikawa hit some really phenomenal shots. And then, you know, that first playoff hole right after Thomas makes the 50-foot putt, Morikawa stands up there and just calmly, coolly just drains it to go to the next playoff hole, which is really one of the more impressive things to me about what took place in that tournament. And then, you know, Thomas got kind of an unlucky bounce there when he kind of blocked his three-wood a little bit on the third playoff hole, and it got right behind that tree. And Morikawa hit it in there close and kind of sealed the deal, but Morikawa is one of those guys, man, that's so good. I mean, he has got every part of the game and mentally looks like he's played for years and years.
His iron game's exceptional. Explain this one. He was a plus 5.9 in strokes gained approaching the green. How do they factor that?
So they measure it with all the players in the field. So basically his proximity to the hole was basically 6 strokes better than anybody else's, which is unbelievable to get it that close. I mean, even if you just putt somewhat average, you're going to be way ahead at that kind of pace. So that's one of the stats that is really important to playing good and consistent, steady golf.
Also, with Justin Thomas, he bogeyed 2 of the last 3. He said, quote, "It's completely unacceptable to lose a 3-shot lead with 3 to play," close quote. He had similar putts on 18, one in regulation, one in the playoff. He was about 6 or 8 feet above the hole. Both times it broke right on him, either one of them, if he makes it, he wins it. I didn't think they were bad putts. I think he might have slightly misread them a little bit, but he was unable to nail either one of those. And so, and by the way, the first restart at Colonial, Morikawa was in a playoff there and lipped out a putt. He's played extremely. Here's how well he's played. He's got 24 starts. He's made the first 22 cuts. Which only Tiger Woods made more to start. I don't know how far that goes back, but that was a stat I saw. And in those 24 starts, he's got 2 wins and 1 missed cut. He's got more wins than missed cuts. He's got 8 top tens. This guy, Braxton, looks like a star in the making, doesn't he?
Yeah, and it's an incredible stat to start. And it's like I saw somebody tweeted that out. And then to put Tiger in perspective, Tiger had won at that point where he missed his second cut 43 tournaments. So it's hard to compare anybody to what Tiger did, but to start a career at such a young age, Morikawa is going to be one of the guys. And, you know, you asked me earlier in the year who was going to win some of the majors, and his name's going to be up there and really soon, in my opinion.
Yeah, I picked DeChambeau, the first guy to win a major who hadn't won one. Morikawa's going to be right there in the cusp of it. By the way, Justin Thomas, during the course of this tournament, if you go back to the 2014-15 season, Thomas has the most rounds of 66 or better than anybody on tour with 79. Jordan Spieth is next at 78. Since the restart, Victor Hovland, from Norway and Oklahoma State, he's the only player to make all 5 cuts. Of course, not everybody's played in all 5. He has had no round over par, and he has finished 23rd, 21, 11, 12, and 3. That's pretty darn impressive. The American Century Celebrity Tournament at Lake Tahoe, the two-time champ Tony Romo withdrew Saturday, had a wrist injury. Marty Fish, better known as a great tennis player, he's a Davis Cup captain. He had 10 birdies the first day. He ended up with 76 points. He beat out Kyle Williams, who, if I'm not mistaken, is a big defensive tackle that played at LSU and for the Bills. And John Smoltz was 3rd in this event. Steph Curry ended up 4th. The Corn Ferry event in San Antonio, David Lipsky wins it. He shoots a 62-66 over the weekend. What makes that interesting, additionally interesting, is he went to the same high school is Morikawa outside of Los Angeles. David Skins, a former Tennessee golfer, 19 under par. He finished 5th. He was 66-64 over the weekend. That's his first top 10 since last year, his highest finish since he won the 2018 Pinnacle Bank Championship. So a really good performance by David Skins. Congratulations to him. Our Pro News and Notes brought to you by Holston Hills Country Club. When we come back, we'll be joined by Cade Russell to talk about a really interesting stat that is, I guess you would say, kind of plagued him in some of his tournaments this year. With Braxton Hunter, I'm Jimmy Himes. You're listening to Golf Talk.
Time now for more Golf Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Welcome back to Golf Talk, brought to you by Hamarki Wellness CBD. Feel better physically and mentally with the universal benefits of CBD. I'm Jimmy Himes, along with Braxton Hunter, teaching instructor at Fairways and Greens, and we're pleased now to be joined by Cade Russell. Cade Russell, golfer at the University of Tennessee. His appearance brought to you by i3 Verticals, payment processes for businesses, technology-driven, human-powered. Cade, how are you?
Doing great. How are you?
Doing fine. I saw where you made the semifinals of the Tennessee match play. How do you feel like you're playing at this point?
Yeah, I did. You know, I had a good week. The game's getting closer. Physically, it's not the best, but mentally I'm doing a lot better than I would have been doing last year. You know, just a lot of stuff that I've learned at school. So the game's in good spot. You know, just kind of needed a couple starts and hopefully can get it done at least once before the summer's over.
You said physically it's not the best?
Physically, it's not the best, yeah. No, sir.
Why not? Why did you say that?
Just kind of going through a couple different swing things, and then also, you know, the loss of the facility always hurts. You know, having the ability to go out to the facility that the University of Tennessee offers its golf program is a special treat, and it's definitely a place that helps shape your game no matter how you use it. So with this whole COVID ordeal, we've lost the ability to use it over the summer.
Hey, Cade, Braxton Hunter, hope you're doing well, bud. I just wanted to ask about your mental approach to the game, and just your attitude to me is one thing that stands out to me, and just kind of your personality and how you play your best golf. Just kind of take us through in your mind, your mindset, and what makes you play your best.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, I had a lot of long talks with Coach Webb and Coach Bo Andrews at school, and you know, they kind of led me to the realization that you don't necessarily have to be knocking down pins with a 7-iron or making a ton of putts to, you know, play your best golf. You know, it's kind of a misconception. You know, everybody thinks that the guys on the PGA Tour are sticking it every time with a 7-iron. But in reality, you know, what the most important thing is, you know, having a process and having a goal for each shot, and then just the stressing the importance of going and through your process before each shot. And then, you know, the focus then switches from having to hit a good shot to making sure your process is good. So I learned that. And then the biggest thing that's helped me is knowing that once the club face hits the golf ball, it's up to the golf gods and whatever else as to what happens. I was just able for the shot, was able to try my best and try to hit the best shot I possibly could. And that's kind of what brings the best golf out of me that I've found so far.
Talk about some of your improvements in your wedge game, your short game. I know you'd practiced a little bit a while back with Scott Stallings, and how he helped some with flatting your wedges and working different angles on it. Kind of talk us through that part.
Yeah, no, definitely. Scott obviously is a heck of a role model, and we're lucky to live in Knoxville, and we're lucky to have a guy like him from Knoxville, him and Peter Molinari. Also, but just, you know, guys that are willing to come out and share knowledge and talk, and guys you can ask questions to, and they're always guys that you can count on. But the biggest thing that he helped me with is my wedges. You know, kind of everybody thinks that if you want to hit one low, you got to put it in the back of your stance. You know, he showed me a lot of how to keep the ball positioning pretty much the same, just ahead of middle, and just learn different ways to control trajectory and control spin and shape shots. And that definitely has improved my wedge game quite a bit. It's a night and day difference for sure as far as consistency goes.
Our guest, Cade Russell, University of Tennessee golfer. Cade, I got to ask you about this. So I'm looking on Twitter at the match play, and I guess you're playing Steve Gallier. He made a hole-in-one against you?
Yes, sir, he sure did.
Okay. Well, did somebody get a hole-in-one against you the previous day?
Yes, sir. So I played 18 the first day and then 36 the second day. So my first match, the kid I was playing, he made a hole-in-one on hole number 6. And then the next morning, so my next match, I play Steve, and he makes one on number 13. So two in two matches. So that was pretty interesting. I called my dad, and I told him we needed to go buy a lottery ticket or something.
Well, somebody told me that somebody scored a third ace against you earlier this season. Is that true?
Yes, sir. Yeah, that one was at the week course. When everybody kind of got back, and it was like just after spring break when we were all back from school because with the whole COVID thing, it got us at home early. And all the greens were aerated. We were playing out at the week course out here in Knoxville because they were the only greens that weren't aerated, and they were actually in really, really good shape. But, somebody else made a hole-in-one on me. And what's funny is before this year, I've never seen anybody make a hole-in-one, including myself. And then there's been three made on me in 3 months.
Three in 3 months? I haven't made one in a while. Can we get together and play?
Absolutely. You know, you're not the first person that's asked.
Yep.
I've told everybody it's $100 a round.
Yep. I think it would be worth it.
Yes, sir.
What are the numbers for the lottery tonight? Do you have that?
No, I don't, but I need to get on it.
Who? What's your next tournament? Are you playing the four ball this week? Do you have what else do you have kind of coming up before college golf would start back?
Yeah, no, I don't. I'm not playing in the four ball this week. I actually leave Wednesday for a tournament in Savannah called the Savannah Quarters Invitational. The golf course is called Savannah Quarters. So I have that, and then the choo-choo at Council Fire at the end of July, and then Stay Down the beginning of August. And that's kind of all I've got as for ending the year right now, just kind of seeing how school's going to play out. And, the possibility, I guess, that we don't have a fall season. If we don't, there'll be a lot of people adding some tournaments in to – kind of finish out the warm weather and the green grass where everything goes dead this winter, just to play in some other stuff. But as of now, I'm ending with the State Am.
Hey, Kate, thank you so much for joining us. Really do appreciate it, and good luck to you in the future.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. Thank you all for having me. You all have a great evening.
Thanks, you too.
Thanks,
Kate.
Dave
Russell, our interview brought to you by iVerticals. Now time for a golf tip brought to you by Fairways and Greens. Practice made perfect. Call 777-GOLF. That's 777-4653. Braxton, I have, as I usually do, hit the ball in a sand trap near the green, a greenside trap or bunker. What's the best way to play a shot out of the sand?
So this is one of my favorite lessons to give. I give quite a few short game lessons and out of the bunker. I love to practice where you're using as little speed as possible to get it out. Now, I'm not saying that's how you should necessarily do it when you play, but when you get into the bunker, I see a majority of the people that I teach have way too much speed with their sand shots. They're trying to lift the ball up into the air. And if they miss hit it, they're either hitting it across the green into the next bunker on the other side, they're hitting it into the parking lot, and there's a ton of variability to their shot. So what I like to see is the ball a little bit forward in your stance, the weight just slightly forward, a pretty neutral hand position, so I don't want a ton of shaft lean forward. The club face open, so you can use a little bit of the bounce of the club on the bottom. And then as you're practicing, I'd like to have a very slow, very methodical swing, and then build up your speed from there. So I'm not saying it'll take a really easy effort to get it out, but a lot of times when you practice it that way, then when you're on the golf course, you don't go into the I'm going to kill it out of the bunker mode, and then you miss one and you take out somebody's head that's on the other side of the green.
When do you hit a chunk and run, which I've seen? Is that typically when you just have a buried lie?
Yeah, to me it would be a lot of it's dependent on the condition. So say you have a buried lie, you're not going to be able to get the club in there to create much height or spin. So you would just kind of quote-unquote chunk and run it. Also, if you have a lot of room between you and the flag on the green, I would take maybe your sand wedge instead of your lob wedge. You'd take a little bit less loft and hit a little bit more behind the ball. And that's one thing for any of the shots out of the bunker, you have a little bit of wiggle room on where you can hit the sand. Most people I see would hit the sand a little bit too far behind the ball. So, you know, one tip I would give people would be to go practice and try to hit as close as you can to the ball without mm-hmm. making contact with the ball itself.
That's our golf tip brought to you by Fairways and Greens. Now an equipment tip. That's brought to you by Edwin Watts Golf, the proud home of the 90-day 100% satisfaction guarantee. Braxton, is there any equipment tip in terms of when you're trying to hit it out of the sand with sand wedges, the degree of the sand wedge, the bounce on a sand wedge? What are your thoughts there?
So I like to use a lot of loft if it's a short bunker shot. So say you'd have your lob wedge, which most people would have a 58 or a 60-degree lob wedge, just to have it where you can pop it up in the air real quick and stop it. Typically, I like to see that club not have a ton of bounce on it, so anywhere from 4 degrees of bounce to maybe at the most 10, and to have a little bit more bounce on your sand wedge. So if you've got a little fluffier lie or you have a longer bunker shot, it's easier to hit it a little bit more with distance with the sand wedge. So maybe not quite as high of a shot as you would be able to hit with a lob wedge, but it just gives you a little bit of variability, as I've spoke to before, kind of on the bounces of your wedge. So having a little bit more bounce in the sand wedge and a little bit less in the lob.
That's our equipment tip brought to you by Edwin Watts Golf, proud home of the 90-day 100% satisfaction guarantee. Among our topics, the PGA had three players that have tested positive tee off together. Watney, McCarthy, Fratella. If they made the cut, they were to be playing as singles. What are your thoughts on the PGA's policy of, if you've had a positive test, you're going to be paired together without the ability to perhaps infect somebody else?
I mean, it makes sense. It's just kind of strange the way they're doing it, where you would think they might not even be able to play or play without caddies. Or, I mean, it's just kind of a strange way they did that with putting them together. But I mean, obviously if they made the cut, they have that rule right now where if you feel bad, not necessarily even a positive test, but if you're feeling poorly, you can play, but you're going to be by yourself. So it's kind of just going with the times, and they've done pretty well with how few have tested positive. And it seems like their method is working for now. We'll kind of see how it goes in the future.
Yeah, and then if you made the cut, you play as a single. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Hey, Braxton, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to doing it again next week.
Thank you, Jimmy. I appreciate it. Always
thank
fun.
Thank you. Braxton Hunter, instructor at Fairways and Greens. That's been Golf Talk, brought to you by Hamarki Wellness CBD.